We're going to take a few moments to look at some words from the book of Daniel tonight. So many great lessons from the Old Testament, and looking at the characters that stood so strongly for the Lord, whose lives exhibited faith and a willingness to face all kinds of hardships, but never back down. They were true to God. And the case that we're going to be looking at tonight is from Daniel chapter 3. You'll recall the massive image of gold that stood before the peoples of Babylon. This was an image roughly 90 feet high by 9 feet wide. It was an image that the expectation of the people was that you worship this image. You bow down to it. You indicate by your physical posture that you are obeying the command that has been set forth. And that came out in verse 4 and verse 5. You shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So it's made very clear to everyone. Here is the requirement, and here are the consequences if you don't obey the command that has come from the king himself. So here are these young Hebrew men who the names that they are given, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are their Chaldean names. These individuals, these young men, despite being young, are very devoted to their God, and they do not compromise. Here's an amazing thing. When the music and all the noise starts up, when this indication came, okay, now's the time to fall down before, they refuse to do so. They would not do it. And so they're reported. Look at verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. So the king is made aware of what has happened, and he doesn't take too kindly to it. Verse 13 indicates his disposition. When he hears the news, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? The thing threatens again, but basically what he's doing, he's giving them a second chance. Maybe you didn't understand. Here's what you need to grasp. I am making it clear that when you hear these things, you must bow down, because if you do not, you are going to be cast into the fiery furnace, and no one will be able to deliver you. Who is the God, he says. He doesn't believe that there's any way possible that these men would be able to escape the judgment he was most certainly going to bring upon them if they refused to comply. But look at the courage of these young men in their answer to the king. We see men initially who are steadfast in standing true to their heart's conviction and their knowledge of what God's commands are. They're steadfast. They're immovable. And they remain loyal to God. And you can see that in their response. Look at verse 16. They answer the king and they say to him, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, in other words, if what you said, if that's what you're going to do, he says, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. What they do here is they tell the king, we simply cannot do what you've asked us to do. It's impossible because, for one thing, they in their hearts knew that this was in violation of God's command. They could worship no one, no thing, only God. They don't explain all of that to him, but they just simply tell him, O king, if this is what you're going to do, well, our God, first of all, He has the power to deliver us. They expressed their full conviction that God was able, had the power, if he so chose to do so, to spare them in some fashion from being executed by the king. They were guaranteed of this. They knew he was able to do that. But verse 18 expresses this truth. And this is the reality of how it is for all servants of God. They said then, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." We can know, and we do know as Christians, what God is capable of doing. He's capable of doing anything. We know that if we petition God for certain things, and we ask according to his will, that he is most capable of responding in the affirmative and granting what we have asked him. However, what we don't know is what God's will is. We don't know if it's his will to grant us this or to relieve us of that or whatever it may be that we're seeking. He's able. But what we do is we put our full faith and trust in him, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done." And we put our concerns, our hearts, burdens in the hands of the Lord, and then we wait and see how God is going to handle it. But in the meanwhile, we just simply faithfully serve him, and we do not doubt him as these men in no way, shape, or form doubted God. Because they, even to the point of saying to the king, "We're ready to die," is basically what verse 18 is all about. "We will not serve your gods. We're not going to worship the gold image that you have set up." So they're ready to receive death, because even if our God chooses, in other words, not to deliver us, we're not going to worship your God. Nebuchadnezzar, then, enraged at what he hears, his expression changes, we're told, in his fury, and he speaks and he commands, "Heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated." The men are called, verse 20, the mighty men of valor. They take these men and they cast them into the burning fiery furnace. What happens? Well, we find out it's so hot that the men who get close enough to be able to cast them in themselves perish. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as you know the story is told, suffer no harm whatsoever. Not a hair is singed, not even the smell of smoke, no harm whatsoever. These men who stood steadfast in their conviction of the truth, who were loyal to God even to the point of being willing to sacrifice their own lives, found salvation from their God because he did deliver them. Now, we're not promised that if something bad might happen to us, that God is definitely going to spare us from that. But what we know is that in the end, that's most certainly the case. Because the promise to us is not, "I'm going to save you from a disaster. I'm going to save you from execution. No one will be able to bring harm to your body." We know that's not the case. It happened to God's own son. But what we're told is that the spirit, the soul is preserved. No one can touch it. You live faithfully, you serve God. No matter what they do to the body, they cannot touch the soul. And you have salvation promised to you, and you will receive it one day. This should fill us with courage to do what needs to be done. I don't suppose any single one of us have ever, probably will ever, face something precisely like this, where someone's threatening our life, and if we don't obey, we're executed. Now, you could go to some parts of the world probably and that would be done, but in the here and now, at least, we don't face that. However, there might be other things that we might be tempted to be afraid of doing, that God wants us to do or not do. Go along with people who are doing things that are wrong. Maybe kids at school, maybe people at work. Do we have the courage to stand and to do what is right, to do what pleases God, and to not yield, but rather to be steadfast to what is right, to be willing to make sacrifices of our relationships, of other things that may cost us something, to be loyal to God, so that we can eventually lay hold of the salvation that God has promised to us? We need to remember, heaven, as we sing, will surely be worth it all. God has promised us a wonderful place. Tonight, if you're not yet a Christian, you need to think about your soul's salvation. You need to think about God's plan involving faith, repentance, confession, baptism, the things we see in the book of Acts people doing to be added by God to the church, and then do those things. But if you're already a child of God, faithful living must characterize your daily walk. Are you living in accordance with God's will, or do you need to come home? He's waiting for you, and we can help you as we stand and sing.